Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, why closing global tax loopholes is a big benefit to women. And the UN's expert on sexual violence in conflict responds to recent violations in South Sudan. But first, seeing women compete and succeed in the 2016 Rio Olympics shows the world that we are all created equal and we can all achieve. That's according to UN Women's social media manager, Beatrice Frey, who has returned from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Ms. Frey has been working with the International Olympic Committee, the IOC, on several UN Women projects to empower young girls through sports. The 2016 Olympics has seen the highest female participation, with 45% of athletes being women. Laura Jarreel asked Ms. Frey how it felt to witness so many incredible moments.
The Olympics have always been a place where different cultures and communities come together, and it's a place of peace and unity. And to witness those women athletes at the Olympic Games performing in their different disciplines and sport is really powerful. And it shows to the world that we're all created equal and we can all achieve something if we put our minds to it. And it shows to their cultures and people in their country that women can actually do it and women can perform in sports and at a high level. And that it shouldn't be a taboo, but you can achieve whatever you want.
As far as successful moments, as far as moments where women really come through as very empowered figures, do you have any moments that really stuck out to you from this Olympics?
For me personally, it was definitely the diversity of the U.S. gymnastics team. Simone Biles, Gabby Douglas, Lori Hernandez, all minority women that bring so much diversity and power into the games. That really stood out for me. Of course, Ibtihad Mohammed, the first American Olympian to compete in a hijab. And she said, you know, she's proud to be an inspiration as a Muslim, as an African-American, and as a woman. But yet, It shouldn't be a big deal, you know. So one day, hopefully, there will be a day when all those things don't matter anymore. Then again, Simone Manuel as the first African-American woman to win a gold medal in an Olympic swimming event. So she as well said, you know, she carries the African-American community burden on her shoulders, and it shouldn't be like that. So hopefully one day it shouldn't matter who you are, you just focus on your achievements and on your commitment.
And then there have also been athletes that are starting discussions and starting conversations. There was a swimmer from China who openly spoke to the media about having her period during her swim. Do you believe that these kinds of new conversations, is that a positive thing for women?
Yes, absolutely. It's important to break those taboos. And in China, I believe only 2% use tampons, for example. So it's something very unusual to get into the pool when you have your period, you know, even at the Olympics. So for her to stand up and to say that was very powerful and I think has reached many Chinese girls in their home countries.
Making the global tax system fairer and closing loopholes would be a huge benefit to women. That's the view of Winnie Byanyima, executive director of Oxfam International, which is dedicated to fighting poverty worldwide. Speaking at recent meetings held by the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, and the World Bank, she said that it was vital to address the economic challenges faced by women and girls. Ms. Byanyima is a former Ugandan parliamentarian and was director of gender at the UN Development Programme, UNDP. Jocelyn Frank asked her how economic inequality was also having an impact on gender inequality.
Wealth is concentrating in the hands of fewer and fewer people. Today, 62 people, billionaires at the top, own as much wealth as half of humanity at the bottom, 3.6 billion people. And the reason for that is because economic policies have been really determined by those few at the top working with politicians. That's really what has happened, that governments have stepped back and allowed a bully in the field to have a field day. So until we reform that system and governments can collect the taxes that are due to them and be able to deliver services, infrastructure that benefits everybody, including those businesses, we will not have a human economy. We'll have an economy that works for the few, where women are losers because they are already at the bottom of the rung.
So how does that tax policy reform, how does it impact women specifically?
A global tax system, first of all, that plugs all the loopholes would benefit women in several ways. One, you would have taxes paid by all the rich companies and rich individuals, and therefore governments would collect more money to put into public services, which are critical for women. Because when public services are cut, like education, like health, like social protection, the burden of that care falls disproportionately on women. Secondly, we want to see more progressive taxation. Regressive taxes are like taxes on consumption items that are basic that everybody buys in their home, like milk, like salt, like sugar, like soap. Everybody pays the same tax. So say, for example, if you're a woman who spends 60% of your income just buying food, and you have you earn so little and all your money goes to buy just that little piece of bread, and you are paying a consumption tax on it as a millionaire who buys that bread and also buys a yacht and buys whatever. So you see that proportionately your share of tax is much higher than his share of tax.
Perpetrators of rape and sexual violence in South Sudan's ongoing conflict will be held accountable, the Special Representative of the Secretary General for Sexual Violence in Conflict has said. Zainab Hawa Bangura vowed that she would do everything in her power to ensure that justice is done on behalf of the victims. UN officials have documented at least 217 cases of sexual violence committed in the capital Juba following the outbreak of fighting in early July. Luak Nelson asked Ms. Bangura for her reaction to the latest crimes of sexual violence in South Sudan.
A sense of disappointment, a sense of betrayal, because I've already had about three or four meetings with the president. I had met the opposition leader, so I have to say I'm not only disappointed, I feel extremely angry. Because, you know, I am an African woman, and I saw how these women have suffered in South Sudan. I mean, they went through a civil war over 50 years, and they suffered, they accepted, they jubilated when they had independence. They thought that for the first time in their life, they were going to have peace, only for that aspiration to be shattered.
Preliminary investigations by the UN Human Rights Commission saw that a total of 217 cases documented between July 8th and 25th. How is your office responding to this report?
First of all, as I mentioned earlier, I'm angry, and I really think that all action should be taken by the government to put an end to this. I think it is extremely important for the government to do everything to stop this, because if they cannot protect their own civilian, you know, obviously what we will do is for us to be able to act to make sure that we have an expanded peacekeeping presence in South Sudan. The first obligation for any government is protecting your citizens.
And in his statement, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Zayed Riyad Al-Hussein, said that there was massive use of rape as an instrument of terror and weapon of war. What can the United Nations do to help the victims?
I think what we have asked and what we are going to do is to try to make sure we spare no efforts to ensure that the victims that have been raped actually receive adequate care assistance and support, you know, and to be able to put the mechanism in place. But for me, I think one thing I will fight with until I leave the UN is to make sure all the people who are committing these crimes in South Sudan are held accountable. I'll fight it with my last drop of blood.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.